everyone. This is John Yinlow again. We'll be doing our podcast with you, and we thank you for joining us, and again for a change, for a rare change. It'll be just me. Sometimes it'll just be Elizabeth, sometimes just me. Most of the time, it'll be both of us together. But I want to talk to you a little bit about a word that you're going to hear more and more and more, and not just from me, but I have begun to hear it from others as well. And I think it's a word that begins to define the very era that we're heading into. And that word is Renaissance. Now, this was, for me, it was a word I began to hear December 10th of 2012. And for whatever reason, December 10th, have been nights that I get unique revelation. I haven't really figured out. I haven't unlocked the code there to fully understand. But that's a side issue. Anyway, you know, my most recently released book from last year is called Seven Mountain Renaissance: Vision and Strategy Through 2050, and it began to develop really from that time forward. We didn't have that book finished until 2015, but it began with a word I received in 2012, on December 10th, 2012, and the word being Renaissance. And then the Lord added to it, spoke into it more, had me study it more. And again, I believe this is a word that we're going to begin to hear more and more, because he wants us to understand it more and more. And as most of you probably are familiar with, depending on how well you did your studies and your history, the word Renaissance, it's used to describe a period in history that interrupted the Middle Ages around the 14th century and then lasted into the 17th century. And that Renaissance was, as the Lord showed me, was primarily a counterfeit compared to what's coming, as it brought about a rebirth of ancient Greek and Roman philosophies and values. Now, before I go on, just to tell you, what does the word Renaissance actually mean? The word itself means a revival or rebirth, especially of culture and learning. And when we use the term Renaissance, it's to remind us of a period, and that period was marked by rebirth of culture and learning. That there's a Spanish word, renacer, which literally means to be born again, and that gives us some understanding into this word. But it was the Renaissance period really brought about a thoroughly new manifestation of humanism, and there was great attention and credit given to the genius of man and the unique and extraordinary ability of the human mind. Honestly, the Middle Ages had bogged down into the spiritual deadness and darkness and even the corruption of the Catholic Church, which was what all the church was, basically, and it brought on very dark ages. The Renaissance signified a shifting away from dead religion into the, we'll say, relative enlightenment and excitement of human freedoms not held back by religious form and pressure. The acceptable part of that Renaissance is that it placed an increased value on the individual, and that was a good thing. Again, this valuing of the individual was an improvement over the status quo of that day, but it was generally disconnected from a proper narrative. The proper narrative would value man not because man was God, but because he was made in God's image. That's how it's properly stated. But the original Renaissance, really, a lot of the thought had man substituting for God, and that, of course, has remained a stronghold, particularly in education, ever since then. Martin Luther was more connected to this understanding, and therefore he championed personal salvation, this part of the personal restoration of value of humans. So he championed personal salvation as opposed to indulgence buying salvation. And, you know, much more could be said here, but the point is that this renaissance that we are now stepping into, this era of renaissance that we are now stepping into, is not a repeat of that one, but a massive upgrade on it. That I don't know if that's even selling it for what it really is, but we'll say it's at least a massive upgrade on the historical renaissance. Whereas the historical renaissance championed man and his accomplishment, this coming renaissance will champion God and his accomplishments. Of course, it will be through his kids, but there will be this clear, connective narrative established with it. There will be parallel revival of culture and arts, but it will be based on men having learned more about the real God of all life and not just the God of the hereafter. We've been celebrating the God of the hereafter, the God the Redeemer who saves your soul, the God that will be just a fun-loving Santa Claus for us one day in the future. But we're going to learn more about God's possibilities here on earth now. So, you know, this is a time where God is challenging us to see him in this expanded capability, in an expanded way. It's, this era of Renaissance is really part of the age of the restoration of all things that has begun. Acts 3:21 says Jesus is held in the heavens until the age of the restoration of all things spoken of by his servants, the prophets. And of course, they spoke of days such as Isaiah, of when nations would walk to the light of the sons of God. And so, restoration of all things, renaissance, this is a word that goes with it, reformation, transformation, but we're focusing on the word renaissance today. And again, remind you, the word literally means rebirth, and with that, you know, it'll have multiple applications, all the things that will experience a rebirth, and all the seven mountains will experience a rebirth. There will be a rediscovery of what they were originally meant to be, because in many cases we're just not even aware of the original purpose of media, economy, government, education, and things like that. So there's going to be a discovery, because all these seven areas ultimately find their expression in who God is and who God is in heaven. So this Renaissance word, and this Renaissance period, signifies the beginning of an era that I believe is going to be much longer than most of us imagined. And that first period championed what man could do all by himself if he was not held back by the constraints of religion and tradition. There's something to learn from that. There's nothing that brings a greater darkness than the spirit of religion and the rote and tradition devoid of the spirit. And again, this Renaissance period will champion what God can do when invited in by his sons and daughters into the very structures of society. We could possibly call them the middle age structures of society. You know, I have a prophetic friend of mine who not too long ago had an encounter with an angel, and he was told that there is presently only 1% knowledge of God on the earth. I believe in the encounter, the angel was telling him and say, you know, the whole earth really is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, as it says in Habakkuk 2:14. And so my friend, with trepidation said, is it all right if I ask your question? And the angels let him proceed. And so the question was, what is the present knowledge of God, in percentage? What percentage are we knowledge of God? And he was shocked, because he expected it to be better than what he heard, that it was 1% knowledge of God on the earth. And not just, and that wasn't just even the fullness of God as he'll be known in heaven, but there's only 1% knowledge of God on the earth in what is supposed to be revealed on this side of eternity even. And And so we really have a long way to go. That's why it's going to be an extended, expanded era of Renaissance, where who he really is, the nuance of who he really is, will be made known. And it's going to be all about God. It's not going to be about religion, not about tradition. The knowledge of religion, the knowledge of tradition, that knowledge has already filled the earth. And, in the Middle Ages and into the Dark Ages of that which preceded the Renaissance, the knowledge of religious oughts and burdens already filled the earth. And that Renaissance was, in fact, a recoiling from that, in quote, knowledge, as there was a search for a better knowledge that began. And they settled on ancient knowledge. And in essence, they really glorified Greek and Roman values and philosophy and reintroduced them, actually ignoring the historical fruit of what that knowledge had been, both in Greece, Rome, and the world itself. Ultimately, this present Renaissance will lay an axe to the root of the false knowledge of the historical Renaissance, as the humanistic flame it ignited has never yet been put out. Knowledge of man does trump knowledge of religious form, but knowledge of God routs both of these. And the way we personally must yield to this Renaissance, this era of Renaissance, is by allowing new revelation on who God is to come in and burn up our inferior forms of knowledge that we all carry. We all carry the two inferior forms of knowledge, knowledge of religious form, and we all carry knowledge of man, of man's capabilities, of human logic, mind of reason. And now we must all let ourselves be rebirthed into new knowledge of who God is. You know, Ephesians 1, 17 through 19 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now, there's a mouthful there, so much. But the Renaissance will be a time of our eyes being enlightened. This enlightenment will be about how big he can be in us and through us as we believe him and invite him in with his better way of doing everything. The rebirthing of Renaissance takes place as we go into him as we have never gone into him before and allow him into us as never before. Us in him in unprecedented fashion, and then he in us in an unprecedented fashion. You know, when a new season is announced over us, or we're called to step into it, there is, you know, there's something, there's, we need to follow Paul's counsel. There is this forgetting those things which are behind. Because when a season is about rebirth, then the obligation is to follow Paul's counsel of Philippians 3:13. Where it says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. If you remember Lot's wife, she turned into a pillar of salt when she looked back. When you look back, your salt gets locked down and non-functional. Now, we are called to be the salt of the earth. That was Jesus in his first message. You are the salt of the earth. But we become a statue of disappointment if we look back at past losses. God is making the earth, the church, and almost everybody go through, GPS recalculating. You know, the GPS, when you take a wrong turn, well, our GPS, we don't have that one anymore, but we got tired of hearing all the time. Recalculating. On the other hand, there was something good about it because it meant you're only temporarily lost. We're just recalculating. Let's think of GPS for us today instead of global satellite positioning there. It's God's prophetic signal recalculating. It's like we thought we knew the way to our destiny, but we were wrong. And when that happens, we can either collapse and quit over the fact that we were wrong, or we can just follow the updated, the heavenly GPS signal. in many cases, there wasn't even a wrong turn we made. It was just a road we assumed would be there was, in fact, not there. And so for us, it's done. Well, don't look back. Don't quit. Don't freeze with disappointment. Don't cry over spilt milk. Don't drown in grief over what died or what was lost. Don't weep things didn't go how you expected. There really is a need for us to put aside, put behind us all disappointment. All disappointment. It will disappoint you. Your appointment with your own destiny will cease to happen if you find yourself staring back at losses and what could have been. What could have, should have, all that kind of stuff is where the enemy will freeze us. But an era of renaissance, when renaissance is the word, there's just so much new available, that it is absolute waste of our time and a loss of destiny to do that. This is a renaissance period, a renaissance, a rebirthing that we are stepping into. And you know, I believe just a couple of things about this renaissance era and a renaissance period we're in. I believe there's going to be, it's happening all the time, but there's really an acceleration of a term that's presently used in the marketplace called disruptive technology. And, you know, that describes a technological breakthrough that is a game changer. Things will be different from here on. It is disruptive because it erases the old way of doing things or the old way of thinking. A disruptive technology always ultimately eradicates an existing technology. You know, record players, 8-track players, phones with cords, large computers, they're all victims of disruptive technology. A new knowledge became available. Something new was known that conspired against an old knowledge. And this is generally good for everyone in society, except for those who were the vanguards of the former knowledge. Imagine how exciting it would be were it discovered that the hydrogen and water could be channeled into an energy source that would have almost no cost and almost no pollution. I believe some aspect of that actually is going to happen or is in the process of happening. That would be a great example of a disruptive technology. And just you can imagine the abundance of hydrogen that is on the planet and above the planet. And this would just be amazing from all kinds of perspectives. But of course, now think of all the people, companies, and nations that make their living off of oil production. They would not be happy. They may not be happy. They're going to have to make some adjustments because a new knowledge will knock out that which was empowered by the former knowledge. And so in our future, there will be so much disruptive knowledge of God that is going to happen, that it's going to be a game changer. And again, we're all going to enjoy it. It's all for the better. It's to go glory to glory. But except, you know, the ones that are going to have some trouble with it are the previous God experts that aren't willing to change. And, you know, just to speak on, I was shown something about this Renaissance area and disruptive revelation that was coming. Because that's another word connected to Renaissance. This will be disruptive, disruptive glory, disruptive technology, disruptive revelation, the new overshadowing and pushing out the old. And there's going to begin to be so many people having so many encounters with angels, with Jesus, and with heaven. That already happens, but it's going to be so many that it's going to be disruptive. It's going to be disruptive to existing theologies and doctrines. There will soon just be too many verifiable supernatural experiences and encounters to keep believing that they can't happen. Entire audiences, and then I believe I've seen even stadiums will see angels and in heaven and aspects of heaven, and this is what will make it disruptive. It will have been seen by so many at one time, and not just one or two, who we aren't sure if they are a little cuckoo or not, but it'll be seen by masses. So there will soon be, there's just no way to talk it down. There will soon be so many fascinating, mind-boggling healings that it will disrupt once and for all the dispensational knowledge that healings aren't for today. You know, a whole set of doctrine and theology, things that we have debates and argument over, does he still heal or does he not? And that's because there is a question, well, was that a legitimate healing? Was it not? Of course, there's so many legitimate healings, but it's going to go to such another level with such amazing proof that it will be open and clear forever and ever and ever that you cannot believe in the dispensational aspects of the power of God, that there was the age of the apostles or Jesus and things that were happening then that can't happen now. And so this is what I mean by disruptive revelation. It will knock out status quo doctrines. Many doctrines are going to get knocked out. And theological assumptions are going to get knocked out as well. There's going to be so much disruptive revelation that you will not be able to hardly call yourself a Christian unless you believe in an almighty, powerful God. Like, by that I mean, like, it's going to be so evident. That'll be one of his prevailing characteristics. He's almighty and powerful, and that's just who he is. And he will be doing so many things in our midst that are just almighty, powerful, that to not be connected to that expression of God will just won't even make sense. It'll be like, well, yeah, our God, he heals. He shows up, he sends angels, he rescues, he replaces legs, he replaces eyes, he replaces organs, he feeds many with just a little bit, he takes people up to heaven, he lets us see the four living creatures talked about in the scripture there around the throne, he reveals profound secrets, he unravels amazing mysteries, you know, etc., etc. Can imagine if we are operating at 1% knowledge of who he is, believe me, as this number goes up, for me, it's going to be fun. I'm willing to lay aside any area of error that I had before. Anything I've written, any book I've done that it gets proven that, you know, it was not seen very clearly. I'll be more than glad to lay that aside and say, you know what? That theory I had has been disrupted by the new revelation, the new disruptive revelation that's come in. And again, I don't want to be a guardian of the old. And that's traditionally what happens. Guardians of the old go to war against the new thing that God is doing. And that could still happen. But, you know, this is our moment to be prepared to embrace the greatness of our God that's going to begin to show up, not just among the scattered few, but in such widespread capacity that it's just undeniable. David brought a whole new type of armor to the battle, and it was disruptive to Saul and his armor. So he ultimately tried to kill him. You're like, well, David didn't have an armor. Well, that's what it was. It was transparency. I come in the name of God. And it was like, Saul's like, wait a minute. This is how we do it. Like, well, you don't really need to. But again, it's easy to point fingers at Saul and consider ourselves David, but we want to make sure ahead of time that we're not just pointing a finger out there, or we can be the Saul if we don't embrace Renaissance. Renaissance is a time where we begin to embrace and expect the accelerated manifestations of who God is and who he's capable of being in the real life, in the real world. As David said, I would have fainted I didn't believe I would see God in the land of the living. In the land of the living, who he is here. Not just how he blows us away in the future, but how he's capable of blowing us away here in the now. You know, people overall, they actually hate change. We were senior pastors for 14 years, and theoretically everybody's, Lord, change us and move us. But the reality is people have a lot of trouble with change. And you can go back all the way in history, the children of Israel, you found they hated change. They're promised all kinds of great things, a land that flows with milk and honey. They'd be the head, not the tail. But they'd rather stay in the desert, eating manna ad nauseum rather than adapt disruptive revelation that says nations can be your inheritance, that you can take on nations greater and mightier than you. For us, the application, moving beyond our recent past disappointments are a good practice for us embracing a life of rebirthing, of revival, of renewal, of Reformation. So disruptive revelation is coming, and you will know it is the real thing when you see God exalted and glorified as never before. That will be what comes out of it, because it's the knowledge of God that's going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea, the glory of it. You know, he is the desire of the nation. Heresy, counterfeit revelation brings confusion and usually exalts a man, but the real, true, disruptive revelation will bring so much fame and attention to God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, what he's capable of, what he is doing, and that will be how we know to embrace it. Jesus will become more famous in all the earth, and God will be made more desirable among the nations. So just to challenge you to think into that word renaissance and your spirit, open yourself up to it. It's really exciting. There's a whole era. We're just starting to even understand it. We're just beginning to see beyond the God of the future, the God of the hereafter. You know, again, we love it that he died on the cross for us. It's worth celebrating forever and for eternity. But that's not the only way he loves us, or he loved us. And he's going to showcase to us so that we can showcase to the world. It's going to be awesome. So, Lord, I just thank you for this time with these that are listening. And I thank you for this word renaissance and this era of renaissance that we have entered into, where you will become progressively more famous in all the earth. And it will continue, and it will increase, and it will increase, and it will increase. And the path of the righteous grow brighter every day. It's not just us as the righteous, but your path will grow brighter every day on planet Earth. And of course, we who carry the images of you, we that carry the reflections of your glory, there will be attention given to us as well. But those who understand it came from you will always say, hey, this is about him who's my daddy, he who sent us, he whose embassy we represent here on earth. So we just thank you for that, Lord, and just ask that a new season of dreams and revelations would come upon all those that are listening even right now. Lord, that their dream life would be ignited to begin having their dreams really stirred and activated and maximized by your greatness. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you're interested in more resources that will equip you for your kingdom assignment to reform the areas of culture that you're passionate about, you can check out our website and online bookstore at johnnyandelizabeth.com. While we're happy to make these podcasts available to you for free, donations help make that possible. You can donate on our website, where you'll also find information about our ongoing RISE courses and events. Be sure to subscribe through iTunes to receive our latest podcasts. May God continue to display his goodness through you in all that you do today and every day.